Please open to the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. I rejoice with you, Sherry, over the job for your daughter-in-law. We sang the next to last chorus that to him be glory and honor. I want us to see just how important honor is. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 1 is a prayer that Isaiah had and many of the prophets had. It was a desire, a strong desire expressed in this prayer. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. It has always been the desire in the Old Testament for God to come down. We used to sing a song, I remember many years ago, let us sing till the power of the Lord come down. You're nodding, so I won't continue. I get it. Oh, let us sing till the power of the Lord come down. That prayer was answered. It was literally answered. I want you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 1. When it said that he would come down and rend the heavens, when Jesus was baptized, in fact, all four Gospels tell of Jesus' baptism. For something to be mentioned in all four Gospels, it's very important. Few things are. This is one of them. When Jesus was baptized, it said in chapter 1, verse 9, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. That word opened, in the Greek, it is the exact same word that is used when it speaks in Matthew where Jesus healed and I'm getting ahead of myself, excuse me. That word opened is the same word that is used when Jesus died on the cross and it said the veil of the temple was rent. And that was a very violent action. In Matthew, where it says when he died and Jesus rose from the grave, it said the rocks were rent. That word rent is the same Greek word for opened in Mark 1 when Jesus came up out of the water and the heavens were opened. In other words, it wasn't just Jesus coming up out of the water and a few clouds poetically moving apart. When it said the heavens were opened, again, that word opened is the same Greek word that is used when Jesus died and the veil of the temple was rent. It was a violent action. And when he rose from the dead, the rocks were rent. So this, when Jesus was baptized, this is a fulfillment to the prayer that they had in the Old Testament. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down with thy presence. And here Jesus, it says that when he came up out of the water, it says that in verse 10, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. It's one thing to have the Spirit of God in you, which you do when you become a child of God. But it's another thing to have the Spirit of God upon you. And when Jesus came up out of the water, it said the Spirit, like a dove, landed upon him. That dove never left Jesus. That dove that was on Jesus never left him. If this would be symbolic of the dove, and I didn't want him to leave, I would make sure everything I do, I'm mindful of the dove upon me. That dove never left Jesus. And I want to declare to you to help us is that when the heavens were opened, they haven't stopped being opened. You have an open heaven over you. You have an open heaven. It says that when Jesus came up out of the water and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him, there came a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. Every experience you have with God will be contested. And Jesus, now in the wilderness, the devil came, who no doubt heard what the Father said and challenged it and said, "If you are the Son of God." And he won that battle and came out. And when he came out, he returned in the power of the Spirit. And we read in the book of Luke, if you'll turn there to chapter 4. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, and verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." Well, not me. If I fast, I'm hungry from the moment I start. What's that all about? He hungered afterward. He hungered. "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone be made bread." And we read where Jesus won that battle. Now let's move to verse 14. Because Jesus is going to launch his ministry and have a home court advantage. Jesus, it says in verse 14, "returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up." This is his hometown. "And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, 'This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which were proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" Let me just stop there for a moment. Jesus is starting his ministry. And he goes to where he grew up, which was Nazareth. And what is Nazareth known for? I love your overwhelming response. He was known, Nazareth is known for their unbelief. This is the place he could not do many mighty miracles because of their unbelief, or some would say hardness of heart, but we're going to examine what that hardness of heart was. And so Jesus, he goes to the synagogue, as was his custom. And I want you to realize that for 400 years, there had been a closed heaven, there had been no open vision. From the book of Malachi till the time when Jesus starts this ministry, it starts and the heavens were open. For 400 years, nobody's gotten visions. No prophet do we read about. No book has been written. It's what we call the silent times. And yet, these people, the Jews, God's people, are still going to be obedient to God. We give them credit for that. They show up in the synagogue, as was their custom. Their grandparents did it, their parents did it, and they did it. And here is Jesus, who he gets up and they hand him the book of Isaiah. And we read what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. And we read on. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and he sat down. And the eyes of all them when the synagogue, they just glued on him. They were in awe. Wow. And he began to say unto them, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. They were amazed. They bear witness, it says, the very next verse. That means, yes. They were well aware of a Messiah that was coming. They were well aware that there's a Messiah coming. And now Jesus is handed the book, and he said, the Spirit is upon me, and here's what he's called me to do. To heal the sick and the brokenhearted and to bring deliverance to the captives and to recovering the sight of the blind and to set at liberty and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the minister. And then Jesus looked at the audience and he said, that just got fulfilled. And they're in awe. And it says they bear witness. That means they agreed. Yes, we bear witness. And then as they are feeling something and sensing something, they haven't sensed in years. They've gone through the formulas, they've gone through the routine or the form of it, and nothing like this was ever felt before. And it says that, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words. That word wondered is the same word in Matthew 15, or 14, one of the two, where it says that Jesus healed the blind and the deaf, and many miracles were done, and they wondered at the miracles. They were in awe. That same wonder is the wonder they have here at Jesus, as he just said, this is being fulfilled in your very ears. And they said, we agree, we bear witness, and we're in awe. And then it says that they were in awe, and they wondered at the gracious words. The word gracious is where we get word grace. Grace was being ministered. There, how many have ever heard a sermon you were convinced was from God? And you just, boy, man, that, and they're experiencing that. And at the gracious words, grace is coming forth. Remember it said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory full of grace and truth. And here is Jesus who has become the Word. And the Word became flesh and now the flesh is giving the Word. And it is grace. And they are just, oh. Oh, and then somebody said something and all picked up on it. And they said, this is Joseph's son. Don't get carried away. Man, for a moment I just, and Jesus went from, in the eyes of the people, from deity to humanity. Is not this Joseph's son? I almost forgot. And they didn't even acknowledge the virgin birth. Not to say that they would. This is Joseph's son. We almost forgot. And it went from honor to almost sarcasm. If not sarcasm, at least the absence of honor. And they all said that. I knew the next words that Jesus said, but I never knew why he said them until the Lord has revealed this to me. I knew that what Jesus was about to say really ticked them off. But I never understood why Jesus said what he was about to say. And we're going to look at it. Because Jesus, now knowing what's in the hearts of men, and knowing that when he said, this is now being fulfilled in your eyes, and he knew they looked at him with honor and awe and wonder at the gracious words and bear witness, yes, this is true, to, oh, this is Joseph's son. And Jesus knew that. And he sensed that quick that there was no respect that was given to him. It went from there to here. Are you with me? It was for that reason Jesus said what he does now. Let's take a look. Jesus said, sensing the lack of honor. We just sang, we're going to give him honor and glory. And Jesus, sensing, it almost took off, but then got shut down. Now Jesus says, I want to give you a little history lesson, Israel. They knew their history. But he was going to teach in such a way that it was related to this. Take a look, he says, in verse 28. You will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard, both in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. He says, I know you're going to have words. The disrespect you just showed, now it's going to even get worse. And then he says, verse 24, and he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Why is that? Familiarity. Just familiarity. Doesn't have to be that way. His mother gave him honor. Others gave him honor. But generally speaking, Jesus is aware. He said, but I'm going to give you a history lesson to this congregation. I tell you a truth. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elias. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was the prophet Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. What does he just say? So let me give you a history lesson, Israel. And first, before I do that, let me qualify it by this. It is the nature of God to heal. It is the nature of God to heal. Especially his own children, Israel. That's his nature. When Abram was about to sacrifice his son out of obedience, and at the last minute God provided a ram in the thicket, Abram knew there was a new name for God, Jehovah Jireh, meaning God provides. He's a God that meets our provision. And Jesus is about to teach on how provision was withheld and healing was withheld. Both of them are entitled to God's people. Healing, in fact, there was a woman that came to Jesus one day, do you remember? And her daughter needed a miracle. But she wasn't a Jew. And when she came to Jesus, and my daughter is needs a miracle. And Jesus said, it's not right to give the children's bread or healing other than to the Jews. That's God's nature. And she said, that may be, I may not be a Jew, but I see in your nature such compassion that even a dog that sits at the master table gets to eat of the crumb. You have so much love, it spreads beyond the walls of Israel. And Jesus, he knew how to give honor. He always was one to give honor. And he said, oh man, he bragged on her faith. He honored her. But my point being, Jesus was saying healing is for the children of God. And now Jesus, back as he's launching his ministry in Nazareth, he says, listen, during the time of the famine, there were a lot of widows in need, needing provision. How come God didn't minister to any of them? How come out of all of those widows during that famine, how come God didn't release the prophet to go minister to the widows in need? In fact, Jesus said, not only did not God not release the prophet, because he doesn't control the miracle-working power, he's led of God, just like Jesus said, I only do that which I see my Father do. But Jesus was saying, did you notice that, Israel, that in your history, when there's provision and it should be given to God's people, the prophet Elijah, God didn't allow him to go and minister to any widow. But rather, he went outside the borders to another widow and performed a miracle for her. Why? Because there was no honor. Jesus just recognized an absence of honor in them towards him. And so let me give you another lesson. You that don't know how to treat the Messiah. And then he says, but let me give you another one. By the mouth of two or three, let something be established. Jesus said, there were many lepers. How many know it's in the nature of God to heal? It's in the nature of God to heal. And there were a lot of lepers in Israel at this time. But Jesus said, the prophet Elisha, went from Elijah to Elisha, the successor. And by the way, the successor knew how to give honor to Elijah. But God wouldn't release him and the giftings that God had placed within him to bring healing to any leper. But he sent him outside the borders, just like he did your predecessor, Elijah, to the widow. And now he sends him outside the border to Naaman, that soldier. And he received healing. And they know, as in the congregation, what he's putting forth. Boy, they got mad. And they wanted to throw him off the cliff. Isn't it amazing? He went from here to here. No honor. They couldn't honor the minister. They couldn't honor the Elijah. They couldn't honor Elisha. Lack of honor. But it isn't only a message of honor to be able to give honor to the positions. This is a message that also ought to cause us to be aware to give honor to everybody. Everybody. Jesus said, remember in another place, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. If you have a prophet, Jesus said, and you acknowledge the gifting that God has placed within him, if you will honor him, then that gift will be released. And it will, you'll receive a prophet's reward, meaning the gifting will flow. They didn't honor Elijah as they should have. As a result, his gifting was not released. They did not honor Elisha, and his gifting was not released. It got released somewhere else. Wow. I always knew Jesus said what he did, and I knew it upset their national pride, but I never knew why he did it. And it's because in that synagogue, they went from wow to, it's just Joseph's son. I had something happen to me this past week. It's been a culmination of two or three things that I'm still in awe over. I don't back down that I do have a prophetic gifting at times where I know when I hear God's voice. I've got a book, I have 100 stories, but it was Tuesday, or let me back up. About, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago, I noticed something in my own personal life. Whenever I would just think about God, not put my attention on his miracles, not put my attention on his word and his teaching, but actually on God himself, I became aware of a new presence the moment I thought God. And I'm very sensitive, and I knew that. And I thought, wow. Now, I've always wanted and coveted to have God's presence. But I noticed that whenever I just, lately, when I think, just my thought being on God, boom, I'm aware of a presence that is different and of greater quality than I've ever had before. And I even shared with a couple of minister friends, and I told them what was happening in my life. I said, and so I told them, well, that's really neat. You know, they were joking, pray for me. And I said, and I didn't want it to go away. I hope this just isn't a fleeting thing. And that's still to be determined. And so I hadn't prayed in 3 or 4 days at my prayer time. And I thought, I need to hit my prayer closet again. So when I went in, I'm thinking during the day, what's going to happen when I not only think about God, but I speak his name and mix it together at the same time. Little spiritual chemistry. And I've been, what's going to happen? And so I'm aware of that. And so that, it was about 1:15 in the morning. And I went down and I remember sitting down in the living room very respectfully. Because I, boy, this is different. Boy, I have been aware of a presence of God. When I think about God, boom, a presence shows up. But what's going to happen when I put the two together and I actually speak his name at the time, same time thinking about him? And I thought, he knows my thoughts. He knows what I'm getting ready to do. So I sat down in the living room. I thought, okay, here goes. And so I've got my mind on God, and now I'm going to address him. And I said, God, and I mean within a tenth of a second, before I could even put two thoughts together, you know what the Lord said to me? Yes. I'm not lying. I got no reason to lie. I know the voice of God. This was no impression. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard yes. And it so overwhelmed me. I didn't know what to do. It was almost like I came up and I said, honey, and she would say, yeah. And I thought, man, God, yes. Isn't that cool? And I just thought, wow. I didn't know what to do with it. I couldn't even put two thoughts together. I went ahead and prayed, and I thought, I will never forget that. I will never forget realizing that I called on him while I thought on him, and he said, yes. He's so near. He's so there. Call upon me, and I will answer thee. Yeah, well, I never experienced anything like that. And then it was this past Thursday. I'm reading the scriptures. I'm just laying down and reading them. And I wondered, Lord, why did that happen? What is going on? And he spoke to me. You know what he said? He said, it's because when I asked you to go to the park, and you went, and you prayed for those 45 mentally retarded people, and you honored them, and you blessed them. He said, I wanted to reward you with more of my presence. I just wept. I thought, oh Lord, I didn't do that for that reason. I wasn't doing it for that. I was doing it because I felt you wanted me to go to the park and witness. And when I got there, there's 75 mentally retarded people. And then I felt you wanted me to pray for them. And I did. And I told them how special they were and how much you loved them and cared for them. He said, you honored them. You see, there's something about honoring that releases giftings. Every person here has got giftings that God has given you. And how we honor one another releases giftings. You say, well, they got to be honorable, for I honor them. Mm-mm. Jesus says we're to love one another. And he says, if you only love those that love you, what reward have you? Because even the world does that. The world loves their own. But we're the church. We're supposed to love one another even when they're not worthy of our love. Even when they don't deserve our love. And we're supposed to honor one another whether they are honorable or not. Because honoring is in the mixture of the love. And if you want to shut down God's blessing, just don't honor. And here Jesus was aware. In fact, do you know probably the two greatest sinners in the Bible, in my opinion, was in the Old Testament, I'd say Nebuchadnezzar. He's the guy that had the vision, and it got interpreted about the four kingdoms, and then he got too self-absorbed, and he built a big image representing him. He said, everybody, you got to worship me. I mean, you talk about somebody, a narcissist. You talk about somebody wrapped up in themselves. That was Nebuchadnezzar. You gotta worship me. That represents me. Remember the story? And not only that, he had people working for him on staff that were not even believers in God and into witchcraft. There's no telling how much demonic activity was going on in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. And yet now he has another dream, and he wants to know, and I think I mentioned in Sunday school now that I think of it, and he wanted to know what the meaning of it was, and Daniel is summoned. But when Daniel got the interpretation of it, now most of us would go to Nebuchadnezzar and we'd probably say something like this, Nebuchadnezzar, I have the meaning of it, but we warned you, we told you, and you wouldn't listen. You had to go getting proud, and you had to go getting arrogant, and we might have had a response like that. But not Daniel. Daniel says, when he knows the meaning, and listen to his words, how he honors Nebuchadnezzar, who wasn't worthy of it at all. He said, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, I wish what was going to happen, the destruction I see coming, wasn't going to happen to you. I wish it was going to happen to your enemies." What a response of honoring. And just like you would protect your children, even if they were wrong, you'd love them and honor them. And it did happen. Nebuchadnezzar did go into insanity 7 years. And after the insanity in 70 years, he lifted up his eyes and looked to heaven, and his sanity came back, and he began to glorify and honor God once again. But it was all because of a man that knew how to honor the king, that had a big part. And my message is simply this. Oh, God, teach us to honor one another. There's something about honoring one another that releases God's blessings. Even Malachi, what brought about the 400 years of silence, you read that book and God says, "Where's my honor?" And it was because they were bringing lousy sacrifices, symbolic of their tithe. But it's even worse not to bring anything. You don't honor God without the tithe. You want to shut down God's blessing? Just don't tithe. I was sharing this with somebody recently, telling him about it, and he said, "Man," he said, "what you told me," and I didn't know. He said, I'd gotten behind on my tithe. He says, "Even though you didn't mention it," he said, "I went and got caught up and paid tithe." He said, "You know, the next day, I he told me of three incredible blessings that came." How many know the Bible said we're to honor mother and father? And when we do, there is released upon the one that does the honoring, life comes back to you in the form of longevity. Oh, I don't mean that. I'm not saying this for self-serving purposes. It's just a truth that just I'm becoming absorbed with. That to honor, and I mean from honoring from the top to the bottom. He that receiveth a prophet, the name of a prophet, when you do, it'll release that. And within everyone, there are giftings. And when we honor our brothers and sisters, there is something that God does that releases those giftings. How many would like to see more of God? May we honor more. Honor. To Him be glory and honor. Let's stand. And I'm still in a kind of a wow, Lord. And I didn't want to make this a game or something trivial, but ever since, I just think of God. His presence is there in a greater way. And then when I prayed and said, "I'm going to speak your name," and I said, "God, yes. Oh, Lord, why'd that happen?" Because you honored 45 mentally retarded, handicapped people. Isn't that amazing? That is just, to me, that wow. Father, Jesus spoke a tremendous truth. There's something about us honoring that releases the prophet and his giftings. Oh, how many widows were in Israel that the Lord would have provided for. But there was lacking honor. How many lepers there were. Oh God, we want to see more sick people healed. I want to see more people healed. Don't let us stop your blessings. I want you to just turn to the person next to you and ask God to bless them. Would you do that? And just pray a blessing over them and honor them. Jesus, bless that one next to me. I honor them, Lord. I honor them, God. I honor them. I bless them. Revival comes when honor rises up. When we treat God's servants and God's people right, giftings are released. Heaven has already been opened. God, we honor you. But if we honor you and we don't honor one another, as much as we've done it unto the least of these, we've done it unto you. And by dishonoring one another, we dishonor you. Help our religion to go more than just vertical, but let it go horizontal. Oh, mighty Jesus. Mighty Jesus. Lord, we know what we do when we dishonor. Our words can be dishonoring, our actions can be dishonoring, our mannerisms can be dishonoring. I can't think of a more important message I've ever preached in 10 years than this one. Here we pray for revival. We pray for God to move. We pray for God. And that's a good prayer. Well, we can pray all day for God to move. And if we don't honor as we ought, our prayer's in vain. We bless you. May we honor one another from the least to the greatest and from the greatest to the least. May we love one another. Thank you, Jesus. Ask God to bless you. I pray the Holy Spirit rest on your shoulder. I pray at work. I speak release at work. Sherry, I pray a release at work. And peace be upon that. Lord, I speak blessing over this house. But the key is in our hand. Do a little study on honor. You'd be surprised. Bless the Lord.